when God moved on a person in such a way that they were overwhelmed. As I began to read this story, I thought of this incident with Beth Moore. And I remembered hearing it. And I want to read this to you. This is in Acts chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." Now this is the story where Philip goes and he preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. And how many times do we read God's word and we pass over it? And that's when we listen to that story and we relate to it. As she's sitting there and the Spirit of God just begins to move on her and give her direction, does God still do that? Well, yes, he does. We'll go back and we look in this story where God began to move on Philip, and he told him, he said, "Arise and go to the desert." Sometimes if we ever wonder, we question why God is moving in such a way. When God tells us to do something, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. See, Philip was called by God, and when God called him, he called him to the desert. Now here's what we do, very much like what we saw in the video. It's like, why desert? Why are you calling me to the desert? It's like, well, you know, if God wants me to witness, I can look around and I can see all these opportunities right here before me. But God knew what he was doing. Scripture says that Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, who was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Scripture says he arose and went. He was obedient to the call. And when he went, he met a very unique man there. This man was a man of Ethiopia. He was a eunuch, a man of great authority. He had charge of all the treasure. But uniquely enough, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now here's something else when we look at him and we look at Philip. This man was not like us. He was one of them. But I want to tell you that God loves all of them. And you can put whoever them, you can fill in the blank. He was not one of us. And he had already attempted in some fashion to separate himself or even to make amends the best he could, maybe the best that he knew how. In his life. You see, he was a eunuch. That means he was separated, dedicated, a life of separation. If you read in Matthew's writing over in the 19th chapter, it talks about that there are some eunuchs which are born from their mother's womb, but there are others which are made eunuchs of men, and there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. This man was separated. He came to Jerusalem to worship. And here's something to understand about this man. He was looking. He was searching. He came looking. Now, if you look at the 28th verse, it says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, if you go back and study and you know some things about the history of the Bible, obviously at this time, the New Testament had not been written. The Old Testament was there, and the Old Testament was the word that was available. And you study about the history of the Bible and the Bible coming together, there are stories of how there have been copies of the entire book of Isaiah found. And how that, you know, different pieces of it were put together. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but back in those days, they didn't have print presses. They didn't have Bibles to pass out to everybody. So he had a copy that had to have been copied by a scribe. Very rare. Very unique. And here this man is trying to separate himself, trying to find a way really to help himself. He has a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he's sitting in his chariot and he's reading. In other words, he's on his way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, and he was so inquiring that he stopped in the desert to read the word. Now we go back and we question, why did God send Philip to the desert? Well, he's sitting reading, and then the scripture says in the 29th verse, then the Spirit, that's big S, saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, folks, Philip was just a little country preacher man. This eunuch was a man of great authority. He had charge of all the treasure, and he's sitting in a chariot. And he probably, just to look at him, he looked as if he represented power and wealth. And here's Philip, sent by God, didn't question God, went to the desert. He gets down to the desert, and the Spirit of the Lord says to him, go and join yourself to this chariot. And the scripture says in the 30th verse, and Philip ran thither to him. Now, folks, Philip was mighty obedient. A lot of times the way I am when God tells me to do something is I want to put out the fleece. Then I want to put it out again. Then I want to argue with God. Then I want God to help me to understand. I want God to help thou mine unbelief. And the list goes on, but the scripture says that Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him reading the scripture. And he said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, if you look at this scripture, and this is something that I want us to understand, that God prepared the servant, Philip. Philip was the preacher. He was the witness. He was the evangelist. He was the rescuer. So God prepared his servant, and God was looking for a seeker. The seeker was the Ethiopian eunuch. He was looking, he was seeking, he was trying the best he could to separate himself, to find God, to find a meaning for life. And then God sent the Spirit to guide Philip. When I look at this scripture and I think about it, how many times, and I've said this, I've actually taught on this, there are people that you cannot help. 10 people you can't help. One time I did a series on that. Well, who can you help? You can help someone who is looking for help. Amen. When Philip asked him in the 30th verse, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And then he goes on and says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So you can help someone who is looking for help. You know, what we want to be taught, or what we have to be careful of not listening to the enemy say, is, well, nobody wants help anymore. Well, folks, that's not true. What we need to be, and what I want to be, is sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit of God that when God sends me somewhere, I move. And God shows me the people, or shows me the work that he wants done, and that I can fulfill his purpose. Because, you know, there's no telling how many people, as Philip is traveling to this place, that he passed. But it wasn't the right one. I've heard it said, well, you know, you ought to just grab somebody every day and just give them the gospel. Well, what if they don't want the gospel? This man was looking. And if we pray that God would show us the right ones, this man was looking. This is somebody that you can help. Look at the 32nd verse. It says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, if you go over to Isaiah chapter 53 and look at verse number 7 and verse number 8, those are the parallel verses that he's reading. He's reading from a written portion of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53. That chapter starts off, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And it goes on and it talks about how that You know, by his stripes we were healed. It's a picture of the work of Christ and what Christ did for us. The New Testament had not been written. We didn't have the Bible references to go back. But we did have a man named Philip who saw Jesus. And when he hears him read, and the scripture says in the 34th verse, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, we had a video here Sunday morning and a couple of thoughts that really stuck out in my mind. And as Brother Quinn said, you sing about Jesus and I'll preach about Jesus. I can remember when I was growing in my relationship with God and God had called me to preach. I went one time and I was having a conversation with my dad and we were talking about different things that, you know, from a doctrinal standpoint. You know how it is in church. Sometimes people have their opinion about this and they have their opinion about that and they have their opinion about this. And I was talking to my dad about some things and he told me about coming to a point in his life that he was really struggling, really praying, trying to seek the will of God about a particular thing and about a position. It's almost like this. The people that he was around, they wanted him to take a position. You ever been around somebody like that? They want you to say, well, what do you believe? You ever heard anybody ask you the question, well, whose camp are you in? I heard a preacher say that one time, whose camp are you in? And he was talking about, you know, this preacher out in Texas, you know, his belief. And then he told me one down in Pensacola, Florida, and his belief. And you listen to these people and you look at them and sometimes you just want to say, well, I'm in Jesus' camp. And I remember what my dad told me. He said, after praying, he said, after studying for a long period of time, I come to the point that the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he said, just preach Jesus. And when I was sitting there and I was trying to get wisdom from my dad, you know what I wanted him to do? I wanted him to tell me what I should believe. You know what he said? He said, son, just preach Jesus. And here we are with Philip, and he's here with this eunuch, and he's opened the scripture. Did he speak of a prophet or of himself or of some other man? And Philip preached unto him Jesus, just Jesus. See, the eunuch probably had head knowledge of God, but he didn't have heart knowledge. He did not have a personal relationship. See, he had come to Jerusalem or to worship, but he didn't know what he was worshiping. And as Philip began to explain to him Jesus, they travel on a little farther, and you look at the 36th verse. It says, and they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to read a verse that's very common. It's part of that Romans road. It's Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to it, but here's a man that he hears the word preached to him by Philip, the scripture out of Isaiah chapter number 53. Philip preaches to him Jesus. They travel on a little together, and he sees water, and he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, we go back to the fact that here's a man who has head knowledge, but he has no heart knowledge. He has no relationship. And I thought about how many people who've spent their life hearing about God, they know what baptism is. They've seen people baptized. They've heard about it, but they've never had a personal relationship with it. And Philip asked him, "Do you believe?" And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." See, he believed and he confessed. And this is how simple it is, and this is what salvation is. He is saved. Sometimes we, you know, I think people expect it to be some overwhelming lightning strike, miraculous thing, when really all it takes is the Spirit of God coming inside of you, and you believe and you accept Christ. And once he takes up his abode, he's in there. And he dwells in us, and we develop a personal relationship with the living God. Now, if we look at this scripture, and this is evidence, I believe, that a person is saved, is what are you doing after you say you accept Christ? This man, first thing he says, "I want to be baptized." Now, look at the 38th verse. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they," listen to this, "they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Now, we believe as Baptists that we go down into the water. I have a preacher friend that was, while he was in seminary, he was called to go be a, I guess we'd call it a fill-in preacher at a little church close to where he was going to school. He said, "But when I got there, it was a Methodist church." Of course, he said, "You know, God loves a Methodist too. I preached a Methodist. It don't matter what denomination." He said, "But I was there preaching, and when I got there, and they took me in the back room, and they showed me a robe that I needed to wear." And he said, "It wasn't a big church." And he said, "I'm not used to preaching in a dress." Now, folks, people do things differently. I know, but this is, you got to understand, this man's a country preacher. He said, "I got out there and I got to preaching. And he said, I stomped. And when I did, he said, I tore the whole back out of my dress." He said, "That thing tore." And he said, "I just threw it down." And he said, "I was wore out and I reached over there and they had a cup for me. And I reached and drank. And they all..." He said, "I didn't realize I had just drank their baptistry." And he said, "They come to him after and they were talking to him. But he said it was amazing how in the 9 months that he spent at that church while he was in seminary, he said, I was able to baptize about 50 of them." He said, "Because I explained to them the scriptural position and what the Word of God says about baptism." And he said, as we went forward, he said, they didn't want me to leave. He said, but God had another work. But he talked about how, as God moves, and folks, I'm going to tell you, that's what's important. And when we look at this scripture, that's what we see. I want you to understand that when we read about Philip and the eunuch, it ain't about Philip. What it's about is Jesus and us being obedient enough that we can get somebody to see him. Philip preached to him Jesus. And I want you to see what happened. They went down in the water and he baptized him. In the 39th verse, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. Amen. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It says, but Philip was found as at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, here's the thing to understand. As soon as the work in the desert was done, God sent Philip somewhere else. You see, it's not about us. It's not about Philip. It's about taking Jesus to a lost world. And when people come in here in this church on Sunday morning, it's about presenting Jesus. It's about worship. And for the congregation of God, God's people, it's about coming to worship, but it's about coming to the filling station to get something that'll help you make it through the week in a world that denies God. When we come and we have Bible school, I love the decoration, but what it's really about is getting kids into the house of God. that otherwise may not come, showing them the love of Christ, presenting Christ to them, because history shows and studies show that many, many people, many kids are saved during Bible school. And the best opportunity we have to see somebody saved is during those young years, because the older they get, the harder it is to reach them. Amen. Same thing with Awana. I like Awana, but it's not about... I say this to people working in Awana. I've had this conversation with some of the youth leaders. Folks, it's really not even about studying and memorizing Scripture. All that's good. It's more about mentoring and showing Christ. Because people sometimes will forget what you say to them, but they will never forget how you treat them. And when we're out here with these youth, and I appreciate Brother Allen, and I appreciate the youth workers and those that have worked with them, but it's not necessarily the lesson as much as it is that we show them Christ. Sunday morning, I pray that God will send somebody here that needs to see Jesus. And folks, we want to show him to him. I look at this scripture, and he simply preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Anybody have anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight? Anything on your heart?